Please be seated. Before we get into reading the scripture today, I just want to point out the beautiful picture that we're going to have in the background. There is a Hebrew text of the Old Testament, and the first translation, one of the first solid translations of that Hebrew text, is called the Septuagint, and it was translated from Hebrew into Greek. When that translation was made, many of our Bibles in English had the words for the coat that Joseph has as a coat of many colors. In the New Revised Standard Version, which I'm going to be reading from today, the translators took that Hebrew word and actually interpreted it, translated it in a different way, and that this coat that Joseph had is a long sleeve coat. So you know that the coat of many colors has registered with us for its powerful imagery, but that's what the difference is in terms of this scripture and the background of the picture today. And I want to say thank you to Daniel for the beautiful picture in the bag. We're at Genesis 37, verses 1 through 4 and 12 through 28. Joseph settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably to him. Now, his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now and see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent Joseph from the valley of Hebron. Joseph came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they're pasturing the flock." The man said, "They've gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we'll see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let's not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves, the coat of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, this is a powerful and interesting story of a dysfunctional family. It is full of jealousy and hard feelings and anger that takes root in action. God, this boy, Joseph, this favored boy, the favorite one of his dad, he had dreams. You know, each of us have dreams as well, and sometimes our dreams might get us into trouble. Help us to learn in Joseph's story some of your leadership related to our dreams. We pray it in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters, if it wasn't clear in our scripture today, dreams are dangerous. Can I get an amen? Dreams can create all kinds of family problems. Dreams can create all kinds of personal problems, but they do get us somewhere, and they lead us to some place where God might want us to be. In Joseph's case, his dreams got him a pit, and they got him thrown into a pit and sold into slavery in Egypt. His brothers could not stand the dreams he told them. The verses that we skipped in this reading today are verses that say how Joseph had the dream of seven sheaves, and all of the sheaves would bow down and worship him. Well, when he told that to his brothers, you know what his brothers thought? They thought, he is saying that we have to bow down and worship him, and we're not going to do that. Why do we want to worship that spoiled brat? If you had brothers and sisters, maybe you had these kinds of feelings as well. Joseph wore his dad's favoritism as easily as he wore that long-sleeved robe that his father had made him. The robe was not only a sign of how much Jacob loved Joseph, it was a robe of the ruling class. It was not a shepherd's robe. With long sleeves, that delineated Joseph from a shepherd into the ruling class. All of his brothers wore shepherding clothes, like wearing overalls and dungarees versus wearing a three-piece suit. And you know the difference between that kind of wear, don't you? This robe that Joseph's daddy made for him was a robe for sissies, not for a hard laboring man. Joseph, even before opening his mouth to tell of these dreams where his brothers would bow down and worship him, Joseph was easy to hate. He was easy to be jealous of. He was easy to throw into that pit and easy to write off and frame with the blood of a goat. You would think that Joseph would have realized what his dreams were telling him, and you would think that these dreams would cause him pause. Why would you tell your brothers that you had a dream that they were all going to bow down and worship you? Now, that's not really thinking right, is it? But in ancient times, if a person had a dream or if a person had a vision, they were beholden to share it with the community. So Joseph didn't think twice about sharing this dream. It never occurred to him to hold back or maybe make the dream sound better than it actually was. So Joseph told it without thinking of the cost. And the cost of telling his dreams was his life. At first, it was punishment over sibling rivalry, and it was out of jealousy. And then, when Joseph was sold into slavery and eventually jailed in the Pharaoh's jailhouse, it was out of his skill that took Joseph from jail to the Pharaoh's management team. What a journey he had. Because Joseph, while he was in jail, interpreted the Pharaoh's cupbearer's dream, and he interpreted the Pharaoh's baker's dream. What power and wisdom was revealed in his dreams. And ultimately, we'll talk about this next week, ultimately Joseph's dreams saved his whole family from famine and destruction. An amazing story about this dreamer. Now, here's how a dream changed a church I served. It's the first church I served. It's in Rico, the community of Rico in South Fulton County. Miss Pat was one of my favorite people, and Rocky was also one of my favorite people. At a church council meeting, Rocky and Pat got into it, and this was not unusual, my brothers and sisters. I wonder what our council meeting is going to be like today. Rocky was frustrated because the parents in our community just seemed to be dropping off their kids on Wednesday nights, and they dropped off their kids for our food and our program, and Rocky said, "What we really want is the parents." Pat said, "If the kids don't hear about Jesus now, well, then they'll never know Jesus." She said, "It's as easy as this, Rocky. We've got to love the people God is sending to us." Rocky shot back almost immediately, "It's as hard as this, Pat. We've got to love the people God is sending to us." They butted heads, if you know what I mean. Now, Pat was the kind of person who took in all kinds of strays because that was her calling. We talked this morning in the men's class about Samson being called for something greater than he could imagine. And each of us are called to something greater than we can imagine. Pat's calling was taking in strays. Anybody know a person like that? Taking in strays? From the dog who got hit at the end of her road by a car and then was just left wounded and about to die, to the Turner kids whom Pat took into her home. Now, the Turner kids had a good mama, but she burned their clothes in the backyard when their clothes were dirty rather than washing them. They were a tough family. Pat even took in her first grandson, who was born of mixed race. And this grandson was something she had never expected from her daughter. One time, Pat had a dream. First, she told me this dream, and her little blue sparkly eyes were just dancing all over when she told it. And then she told the Sunday school class of children that she taught every week, trying to instill the Christian faith into them. And then she told it at the next council meeting. The dream really struck fear in a lot of people's hearts. The dream really made people wonder about Pat's level of sanity. And maybe Joseph's brother had the same concerns about him. You see, she had a dream that people of all different colors and all different languages were finding their way to that little clapboard church, Rico United Methodist. They were lining up outside our door, she said. They were laughing and playing ball, and they were eating together all kinds of food, she said. Crackling cornbread, pig's feet, tamales and enchiladas, a bread called naan, and a chickpea dip called hummus. Can you imagine that? Now, the way she painted the picture of her dream, well, it made us all hungry. But we weren't hungry for food. We were hungry for the picture of that laughing and loving community that was held in her dream. Now, some of our number were afraid of our dream. Rico had 58 members. 58 members, and 30 people showed up on Sunday, and they decided because of that dream that they would sponsor their own vacation Bible school, and so they did. They wanted children to experience the summer with a little Jesus, and that dream continued to inspire Rico Church to sponsor a Wednesday night children's program. Let me tell you, the first VBS Rico Church had brought in about 85 children. And this is a church with 30 people in attendance on Sundays. Then it inspired Rico Church to continue this Wednesday night program with a meal, a craft, a Bible lesson, and recreation every week during the school year. Now, if you worked in Vacation Bible School this summer, you need to say, "Wow." Because that's a lot of work for a little community, like a mini Vacation Bible School every single week. There were about 50 kids who came to Rico on Wednesday nights each week. Imagine that. 15 adults committed to ministry with children from some of the most difficult and frightening backgrounds we had ever heard about. The dream led to stained glass classes at the rec center, and it led to one of the most active Boy Scout troops in Fulton County, Georgia. And guess who led that Boy Scout troop? A guy named Rocky, who heard a dream at a church council meeting, a dream of a living and laughing community. Now, dreams can get us in trouble. They got Joseph in trouble, but ultimately, those dreams saved his family from famine, starvation, and death. Do we have any dreams that we're afraid of for our community of faith? And does that fear indicate somehow God's leadership toward us, God's direction, and God's guidance? What dreams do we have for Francis Asbury of how we could reach out to the least and the last and the lost, who are members of Jesus' family that we haven't even met yet? What dreams of a loving and laughing community lead us to this table to share in this cup and to break this bread together? Amen.